This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Reese. You are listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Have fun.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, Disney nerds. Welcome to the Tuesday Night Live Show. Tonight I've got on with me Ed. Ed, what's happening, my friend?
Hey, Jimmy, how's it going? And hi, everybody.
Excited to be here. Another fantastic Tuesday night in the office.
Very much so.
And Terry, how are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be here, too, and to welcome back our guests.
Yeah, excited to have our buddy Skip from the Disney Day Drinkers Club on. What we're going to do is go ahead and roll our intro video so we can share the show out. If you guys don't mind, if you're here, please share the show out as well. And we'll be right back on with our guest, Skip Share.
See you in a couple minutes.
All right, we are back. Welcome back, everybody. And without further ado, let's get our guest on for tonight. Skip, what is happening, my friend?
What's up, Disney nerds?
Hey, Skip. How's it going?
You guys, I have to say, you guys do not look like nerds.
Well, we're the fun nerds.
Okay, cool.
I've got the glasses.
Oh, that's true. We all got glasses.
Right. We've got new ones, though, so I don't have any tape.
Yeah, do you have pocket protectors? Any pocket protectors out there?
Not tonight.
Okay, good. What's up, Kimberly?
If you go to some of our old episodes and some of our episodes, some of the interviews we do, we get pretty nerdy with some of the stuff we get into. We like a lot of history and we like a lot of Disney history and we have a lot of fun with that. So that's kind of where it came from. It's kind of like the getting into like the nuts and bolts and that type of stuff.
Well, that's great. You know, it was great being on your podcast a few weeks ago. We were talking about drinking around the world, and we left off in America. I'd come back, we can finish the bar crawl.
That's right.
You also mentioned maybe an announcement. We still have that on the schedule at the end of the show, maybe?
You know what? I think we can. Yes, absolutely. We sure can make that announcement.
All right. Excellent. All right. Very cool.
Look, if you said, I'm not ready for it yet, but I'll come back on when I am,
we can tease it. We can tease it.
Oh, I like it.
But you have to stay to the very end of the podcast to find out.
Okay. So you heard it here, guys. We got a huge announcement, kind of a teaser coming up at the end of the show. So if you would, just make sure you hang out till the end. Thank you guys
all.
Get
to the end.
If you can make it to the end.
Right. Isn't that the point, though? We're drinking around the world.
Yeah.
Skip, before we start from America, I think we're going to be going toward Japan on our way to Canada. Give us a recap. Tell us what the best drink, in your opinion, is between Mexico and America.
Well, you know, I'll tell you. So number one, you know, on our Disney Day Drinkers Club group page, I put, you know, we're going to answer the age-old question, drinking around the world, where should you start? And I always say, you know, I'm an expert opinion.
Buy the challenge coin and flip it?
Well, you can do that. But that would be a great idea, though. We've done a bar crawl like that. But, you know, my grand opinion is liquor before beer, you're in the clear. So I always start in Mexico. So that being said, I always love getting a Viking coffee in Norway. I think that's one of the best drinks that's out there.
Okay.
I was there in January and we got one of each, the hot and the frozen. And I had never had it before in all my years of going. And I've got to tell you, both were really good. I found the frozen one, like most frozen coffees, a little too sugary for me. But we were there in January, so it was cool out, so the hot one was really, really nice. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to drink that in July, but it was really, really good.
Yeah, you know, it's great on those humid days, and it serves two purposes. It cools you down, and it pumps you up.
Right.
You know, I like that. And, you know, it's really, you know, a big toss-up, because I also love the tequila flight in Mexico. Getting that over at La Cava, you know, especially if the line's short, and right. You know, Hey Joe, or what's the one that Tony Baxter? He's one of our admin. He likes the By Joe. There in China, and that's that'll knock you on your butt if you have a couple of those. So, but that's good. All the way in the back. You have to go to the gift shop all the way in the back, and the By Joe is there. And real big shout out to our moderators, you know, Tony, Ileana, Matthew, also Elise, David Humphreys, Nicole, Leslie, and let's see, I hope I'm not forgetting anybody, David Humphreys. So big shout out to you guys and Ryan Noonan.
You've got so many people in the mix there. It's got to be hard just to, you hate to forget anybody, but you got a lot going on. So we forgive you if you forgive, you know. I'm sure they forgive you too, because you get a lot going over there. You guys have really, that group has really blown up. You guys have a ton of members. I've been around Facebook groups and podcasts and vloggers for, you know, for 10 years or a little bit longer than that. And I have to say, participation and just the people you guys have that show up, and man, you guys really found a niche, because the people you get to just show up to meetups and stuff like that is truly, truly amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's a very active group. We have a lot of fun, you know, and of course, you know, Disney is the happiest place on earth, and it's you know, our group is really geared towards meeting new friends and creating new relationships for people that have the same passion as you. And it's, you know, always a great time. You know, this on Saturday, where we got a big event. We're doing a fireworks viewing in Paris with some of our members, and that's going to be fun. We also will be doing some stuff at the Edison. We're going to do a tequila tasting, and so they do a cocktail class, and so and then you can always catch us at Atlantic Dance Hall at the very end of the night. We're always there dancing.
Nice.
How often do you guys meet up, Skip?
You know, we do at least two or three times a month. We also have a singles group, and the singles group is very active. You know, a lot of locals are in the singles group. There's also people from all over the Club D3 singles.
You mentioned last time around they were just getting back on a cruise, or they got off a cruise.
Yeah, we had a big club cruise this past weekend. We went to the Bahamas on a Carnival ship, and we're planning our next cruise in July. And we're looking at Norwegian or Royal Caribbean. We are planning a Disney cruise around the Marathon weekend in January next year. And so a lot of the runners, after it's going to be, and once again, it's for charity, for Kelsey's Hope, which was one of our biggest charities that we participate with, and a big running charity too. So we got lots of things coming up, and it's always a fun time. You can find out all of our events at clubd3.com.
I was going to ask, the ones you have upcoming, are there like the fireworks viewing, is that sold out?
We might have a couple spots left for that, yeah.
Okay, so if any of our listeners are, you know, would like to attend, you know, reach out, go to club3d.com and clubd3.com.
Jimmy's already had a couple.
Yeah.
I was right. Only this D3, month. Correct?
Yeah, Club D3. Yeah.
Oh, you got it right, Ed. You typed it right. I just said it
right. We have some issues with our Facebook. So many Facebook users are coming across as Facebook users as talking about the word.
Because Skip went live straight into his group, the names don't carry over. There is a way they can go in there and give Facebook permission to share their names, and then the names will come across. That's why. It's because it's in the group.
Right. Or you could preface your message with the name too, just to kind of let us know who you are if you can't get to that switch on.
Yep. 100%. So
So in America, old fashioned Knob Creek at the Regal Eagle. There you go.
I like it.
Nice. Classic.
So exactly. I think that's where we left off.
Ed, what are you getting in America?
I'm actually in America. I'm just grabbing myself a Yuengling over at the bar here. It's kind of between places where I'll be getting better drinks, so to speak. So I'm not a big whiskey fan, bourbon fan to begin with. So there's my, kind of my.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm starting to learn, though. Definitely. Well,
this is also where you have to be careful because you don't want to mix your beer and liquor, because that could really damage your stomach there and your head. So you have to be very careful.
Then you're heading home early. You don't want that.
Yeah, for sure. Only $2 more and make it a double.
There you go.
That's legit.
Yeah, that's legit. Yeah.
Nice.
That's great. That's a great tip right there.
Somebody was doing a moonshine sour today. I saw them post that. There was a moonshine sour there at the Regal Eagle. That sounds really good.
It does sound good. I would also say lately they've been having that over like at that little stand next to the funnel cakes. That stand has been so many things. One time they sold beach towels there, but that lately has been a bar during the festivals, and they sell. There's been a good like bourbon barrel beer there.
Oh wow! Well, yeah, yes, I've had that. That's a really good beer.
It's really, really good. Be careful with it because I think it's like 13% alcohol.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not a typical beer. It's a little stronger, but.
One of the nice things about also drinking in America this time of year is with the festival, all the concerts. Like Modern English is going to be there on Saturday, so they'll be melting the world with you right there with some drinks.
I'll be there. My next trip is in April, and I think me and my wife will be seeing the Plain White Tees, which we've seen before there. That was kind of the reasoning behind one of the parts of our half sample-thon that we do in November during Food and Wine is to end our trip halfway in America to watch the concert. And we've gotten some really good ones there. So you're right. It's a great place just to kind of mingle if you can catch one of those shows during any of the festivals.
It makes waiting in line worth it, though, because you can sit there and listen to the show.
Sure, absolutely.
Or you can stand at the back and just dance.
Yeah, or you can stand at the back and just dance, which a lot of our people did during our last meetup in November. Everybody,
right. Well, that's part of the American theaters. You really don't need to sit in there. And actually, for the most part, it's so much better being on the back by the walkways and hanging out.
For sure. All right, moving on over to Japan.
The Violet Sake on the second floor bar. I don't know the name. I feel bad. I don't know the name of that bar, but there's a little hidden bar. If you go up those long steps, you walk right in. It's right there on the left. And it's a really good place to get that Violet Sake.
Violet Sake is a really good one. My wife loves that drink. She more often gets it at Yisaki in Disney Springs. But regardless, also if you walk into Japan, that little bar on the left, like usually I stop at the shaved ice place and just get a Kirin draft. But if you walk into the pavilion on the left, that little bar, they have a bunch of like I guess they're all batch drinks, but there's some really good ones.
Yeah, I enjoy all the sake. Frozen, the slushy, the violet. I'll take them all.
I like it. All right. Orin, hadn't made it to France yet. All right. Where do we go next?
Well, next after that is we've got Morocco. So, you know, when you go into Morocco, obviously there's really one main bar there to the right. But if you go to the left and go into the interior, there's a secret bar back there. And it's in a little courtyard. And it's a little hidden gem there. They have all kinds of great drinks there. And once again, I don't know the name, but... she makes it right there. It's out of a big punch bowl, and it's absolutely amazing. So I need to find out the name.
Is that the wine bar? The Sangria place?
Yeah, the Sangria place. There's it's
that's the actual name, but
yeah, it's that place.
I want to say it's like maybe not that old, 3 or 4 years old since they've put that into there.
Sure. But it's still almost a secret because most people don't see it or you may not know it's there unless you tour around Morocco.
Yeah.
Right, which we love to do, getting lost in there. So nice to find new things each time. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's also kind of... Go ahead, Terry.
I'm actually not even sure I've had a drink in Morocco before, to be honest. I usually am still carrying something from Japan.
I mean, it's interesting because I think, you know, because of their religion, like alcohol is not a huge thing in sure. Morocco.
Good point.
It's mostly Muslim, but so, but you can get some stuff from, what's the little restaurant?
The place on the water with the wheel.
Yeah. I'm killing myself because I can't remember the name. Kim's gonna tell me right now.
Well, that's right. That's why we have our friends watching and helping us out.
but
you're right. At the full bar.
Yeah, Spice Road Table. There we go. Good Lord.
Spice Road Table.
Yeah. So you can walk right into Spice Road Table and there's a bar as soon as you walk in without having to be seated. And also, if you're facing Spice Road Table over to the right, there's a little bar. There is a beer there, Casa. Which is okay. It's a kind of just a light beer. Kim says Spice Road Table has a great bar.
It sure does.
So, I think it's also interesting since there's really nobody in Morocco anymore, like in the pavilion, really. Like, you know, you used to have all the little shops and stuff, and now it's kind of empty back there. It is a nice little place off the beaten path that you can go find a table and sit back there and kind of relax and get it, you know, with a drink, and it's kind of quiet back there.
Sure. I think if you go through the gate and kind of go to the left, you'll kind of go around, and as soon as you see that first opening, I believe on the right, kind of the middle part of those streets there, that's where it's located inside.
Yeah, it's like the little cupboard place in the middle, kind of where the shops used to be, where the little market.
Remember the belly dancer that used to be back there?
She still comes out on the stage with the band to the left of, if you're facing the pavilion, to the left there. We saw her not too long ago, so that's fun to watch, too. Uh-huh. All right, next we're going to move over to Japan. I think everybody
you mean
has...
France, you mean France.
France, I'm sorry.
You're going back.
I am.
That
violet sake was really good.
Another sake to kind of get us past Morocco into France.
Yes.
France is good. France is really good. There's a lot of choices over there.
Yeah, everybody loves the slushy, and I think I would have to get that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Grand Marnier orange slush is probably the fan favorite there, for sure. The Citron slush is also very good. I think more people tend to sway toward the orange one, but the lemon one's really good too.
The wine shop is always a great spot if you want to do a wine tasting. They've got Dom Perignon back there. It was I think it's $150 a glass if you are inclined.
Oh my goodness!
And you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but you can also buy wine there. And during the festivals, they used to have it waiting for you at the exit. But I'm not sure if they do that anymore. And a lot of times, they just give it to you and say, "Please don't open it in the parks."
Interesting. Okay.
Right. Does the crepe place have any alcoholic beverages back there? Any type of like liqueurs or anything? Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I would think it'd be a waste not to, but I don't know for sure.
You would think the creperie would have something back there, but I'm not 100%.
You want to look. That's on the list.
Osa or something.
After you leave France, you go into the alcohol holy ground, right there across the bridge, and you stay at the Rose and Crown. Which you have the Rose and Crown, you also have the little bar next to the Rose and the little cart next to the Rose and Crown that you can buy drinks. Kim says the crepe place does have alcohol.
Yep, do some research, Kim. Let us know.
All right, Skip, what's your go-to at the Rose and Crown?
Well, you know, my biggest thing was the Bumblebee, but they don't serve that anymore. And I think it was that was Boddington's and Bass or something. But now they have what it's called the Speckled Hen. And it's kind of replaced that. And it's really good. It's a beer. You can get that there at the Rose and Crown.
My favorite was always a Carl's Combo, which Carl retired, unfortunately. And it was Stella and Bass, or sometimes it was Harp and Bass, depends on what they had. But since then, they've gotten rid of Bass and replaced it with Bombardier, which in my opinion, just not nearly as good as Bass. And I was talking to one of the bartenders there. Actually, I was there with Ed and my daughter. Last summer, we were talking to the bartender, and apparently it wasn't their decision to get rid of Bass. It was Bass's decision to, I don't know if they were having production issues, but they couldn't get it anymore. Whatever.
They're always working contracts with the parks. I'm sure that's kind of a 3-5 year type of thing where they kind of reestablish. A friend of mine, Sierra Nevada, and he goes through the same things where they're coming down, they're, you know, going to the different conferences, meetings, and trying to please the parks to get the next contract.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they couldn't get the... But you would think that the distributor... I mean, how many distributors specialize in British beer?
True,
British and Irish beer. I mean, you know, so I don't know. And you're right. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it was one distributor does Bass and one does Bombardier, and the distributor with Bombardier won the bid for the contract or whatever, but... I'll tell you, it's not nearly as good as that. The Carl's Combo is not the same with the Harp and the Bombardier as it was with Harp and Bass.
There's always something different. And Facebook user number 2, I got to know about this milkshake. Is it literally a milkshake with Guinness thrown in there as the flavoring? Have you had that, Skip?
No, I have not. And I would not recommend anyone to pound one either.
It is. It might be something that's relatively tame enough that it's not as bad as it sounds, but hey, you never know.
Now, Jimmy, I know you know this. I'm not sure if Terry or Ed knows, but you know, Club D3, the Disney Day Drinkers Club, had a mascot. His name was Benny. His name is Benny. It's a trash can, and it was right there at the exit of the Rose and Crown. Now, Disney has moved Benny. We don't know where Benny is. There's been all kinds of news stories about Benny in the Wall Street Journal, also the Fox News and CNN. But, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. But anyway, if anybody can find Benny, please call.
He's somewhere on his Facebook page.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
We found him.
It's gone.
I've seen on your Facebook page lots of people posting.
Yes.
Potential sightings of Benny.
But you know what's interesting? Most of them are wrong, and the people in the group are not scared to call out the ones that are, nope, that's not the right Benny. Benny has some certain characteristics, like, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, Skip, but Benny has no rivets.
He has no rivets, and there's a couple of scratches that are identifying marks.
Yeah. So
that's probably why he got pulled, to be honest with you.
It seems that a lot of the bins have rivets, so... those are easily distinguishable as not Benny.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. And it's interesting that Skip went on national news to talk about.
Yeah, Missy Trashcan. Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
But, you know, maybe we'll be on that. What's that? John Walsh. Maybe John Walsh will do a
episode. Missing.
Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it's great. You know, it's been fun. You know, we were all taking pictures with Benny, and you know, it was he's a beloved mascot. He's still there. You know, to be honest with you, any trash can will do as a honorary Benny for the moment.
Well, I was just thinking about how those cans are so like well used and honorary, and we always assume how clean they are to be just like another tabletop, whatever necessary.
Well, that's why Benny was so useful. Because, you know, right there at the exit, you can sit there, put down your beer, have, you know, eat some fish and chips, or, you know, just hang out there. But it was a great meeting spot for the members. And, you know, we still gather around in that area somewhere, so you can always find some club members in that area at all times.
So an interesting thing for you, Skip, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there was a clue to one of our first scavenger hunts 10 years ago in that area. And do you remember what that one was?
There's a bunch of them.
So what was the big one, though? The one that with the clock with no hands. Do you remember that?
Sure. Yeah.
So we had a scavenger hunt, and it was in World Showcase in the UK. It was, the hit was find the clock with no hands.
Okay. Now,
any idea on that one?
Clock with no hands. Not really sure.
So in the middle of the square there, that pole that sticks up in the middle of it with the bricks around it where everybody tends to gather now is actually a sundial. And it was commonly put in the middle of the town square so people could tell the time by just looking at the shadow on the ground.
Gotcha. Okay.
It looks like somebody should be tied to it the way that thing looks.
It does look like something. It does not look like that's what it was, but
serving out your sentence.
And going back to, let's see if I could share this real quick.
So I guess that would be a bitty code, wouldn't it?
That's a good one. Yeah. We were talking to you guys about doing a scavenger hunt with the members. So maybe that could be part of it there.
Let's see if I can share this picture real quick.
But big shout out to Matthew Jardigan. He just they were talking, saying hello, and once again, all of our moderators for the club, they're all watching right now. So hello, guys.
Excellent. Hey guys, thanks for joining.
And everybody watching, if you have questions for Skip or us, definitely throw them out there in the comments. And for those on the podcast, we are on our live show.
Yeah, those that are watching on the Disney Day Drinkers Club Facebook page, these are the Disney Nerds podcast.
Thank you for coming, Skip. This is something we've had. This is because we've done our sample-a-thon so many times. We thought it'd be a good idea to dress the bins up a little bit and have a little bin love. So we did like little tablecloths.
That looks like Benny right there. Trying to see, is there rivets? No, there's rivets.
I think this one has rivets, unfortunately.
An imposter.
And this one was in. This one was in Canada, so maybe Benny's Canadian cousin.
It's a clone. They're all clones.
Well, Benny's cousin in America is Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, Ben.
And over in Star Wars, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So, I like it. All right, so we just brought up Canada. So moving our way from the UK over into Canada.
Perfect segue.
And let me just answer our friend Ian. Yes, you are the only one that will not eat on the top of a trash.
It's fine.
You know, you got to get over that, Ian.
In my personal experience, the trash cans are typically more clean than the tables, like during food and wine.
This is true.
Good point.
This is true. And please don't. And people don't put their garbage on top of a trash can. They put it in the trash can.
Correct. And those trash cans are cleaned constantly. They're constantly wiped down. Get with the times, Ian. All right. Moving our way.
So other than the kiosk, what other choices do we have in Canada to get a drink?
You know, interestingly enough, the little shopping area right out pat, I don't know how to explain it, right in front where you buy the shirts and stuff, but it's all the way on the walkway, had like bottled beers and stuff in the ice where you'd normally buy a water. And they had ice wine, they had a bunch of different.
Well, yeah, if you go to proper Canada, you're standing there looking, there's totem poles right there. If you go up those steps at about 11 o'clock, there's a small little bar there that has beer and wine and so forth. No liquor, but there is a bar there, and they have lots of big beer selection.
Yeah.
Good to know.
And some snacks.
Okay.
For me in Canada, it's usually just a. I know a lot of people like the Le Fin du Monde. I'm not a big fan of it. It's a great value though, because it's like a 7% beer. I usually just get a Moosehead.
Moosehead's the way to go.
Yeah, I see somebody said Molson.
Canadian beer is really good. Terry, what was your favorite before? Was it the beer or the wine?
So unfortunately, I don't drink the beer. I'm not a beer drinker because I haven't found a good gluten-free beer. Husband, he's a big Moosehead drinker. He drinks, that's what his regular beer here in Canada. I enjoy the iced wine and the wines. We're members at some of the wineries here. We don't live too far from Niagara, so the Niagara region and the wine region there, we're members at a few of the wineries, and I really enjoy the iced wine.
Yeah, no, I like iced wine too. That was one of the big the things they gave at Food and Wine at Canada was usually always white iced wine and something else along with the steak.
It's sweet, I get it. You have to like sweet drinks, but
Terry, do you feel obligated? Do you feel obligated to start in Canada?
Or do you run from it?
No, I don't run from it either. But no, I don't feel obligated. Although I do enjoy that path. We mix it up, right? We start on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it depends who I have with me. If you're gonna
buy plane tickets, go all the way down to Florida, check into your hotel, buy park tickets.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, we're thrilled. We, got out of Canada. This is great. You're just not going to walk right back into Canada, are you?
Yeah, but our husband wants a moose head.
Probably.
Jason wants a moose head. And yeah, I'm going to be with him. Me and Jason are going to Canada.
Jason will want the moose head.
Hey.
You got to catch the update of the movie.
The other thing I found, and this is just from holding meetups on one side or the other, is we tend to lean toward Canada because it's a little easier to meet in Canada. There's some open space in Canada that if you're going to have 30 or 40 people meet up, Mexico's a little tough to meet up. We've done
it. It's true.
They had the margarita place, that's where we would meet up, that corner, and it was perfect. They used to have only the one margarita, I think, stand there for Food and Wine. Now they've expanded it to that whole shop almost.
It's tight. It's tight in Mexico. You almost have to meet up past Mexico, like right past Mexico, like where the mariachi band sings. Along the water, you could maybe meet up there. But to meet in Canada or before Canada is tough because it's just a tight path through there.
Yep. Those tables in Canada are great because they're all along the water. And there were plenty of them. They've always had them. It's not like Food and Wine added more. I think they've always had a bunch over there. That apple thing in Canada, I've had that before. And that was not half bad.
Lisa and Angela both really love the Ottawa apple.
Right. That's where I heard it.
I was with Morgan and Charlotte when they tried it. Charlotte, I think, liked it. Morgan did not. So she just went, pinched her nose and just down it. She's like, I'm not going to waste it, and I'm not giving it away.
$15.
So she just put it down. I'm like, she's like, I'm not crazy about it. It's a little too sweet and too breakfasty for me. I don't know. Maybe it's the maple, I guess, because it's made with crown maple.
Yeah, and that's the tough part. If you're drinking, I try to stay away from sugar because your liver's already having a tough time digesting the alcohol, then have to break down the sugar. It really works in overtime, and also it's just not as good for you. So I try to say, I'm trying to be healthy here when I drink.
Yeah,
if you haven't got
good to try. I'm
trying to be healthy,
as healthy as you can. Well, I mean, when you're the leader of the drinking club, you have to make some smart decisions along the way too.
Right. You really do. And you have to pace yourself. I always recommend, and I think everyone should do it. It's 1-to-1. Every drink that you have a glass of water or a bottle of water in between. And I think that definitely helps, especially for the next day. But you definitely need to hydrate.
helps the next day, and it helps you make it through. Like, if you're going to do the whole lap, that's tough to do without some water in between. And unless you're sharing drinks or, you know, sometimes me and my wife will walk around and, you know, we'll share a lot of the drinks. So it's not too terrible to make it through. So that's another good thing is if you got a partner that enjoys similar things as you, you can kind of share them as you go around.
Right. And you got to think about how hot it is always down there to begin with, too. Florida is a tough place to drink a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for people visiting from other places. Cooler.
Like Canada.
Like Canada.
Yeah, 56 is hot to Terry here.
Hey, I'll take it.
Right. And she lies. She was just telling Edna, because we were talking about summer trips before we went live. We were talking about heading down during the summer, and she's like, "I love the heat, so I would like it." I'm like, "I live in New Orleans.
I love the humidity, the heat. Bring it on."
Out of it as much.
That's great. It's the opposites. That's only Canadian. That's perfect.
But Honorable mentioned, at Epcot, Space 220. If you can get up there. You know, they've got a great bar up there. Space Chris works up there. Also, Eric Rojo, they're some of our top bartenders and countless others. But, you know, there is a trick to get up there. You know, when it opens up, if you're one of the first ones in line, they do have a walk-up line to get up there to the bar, to the lounge area. And the nice thing about going to the lounge is you don't have to do the prefix menu. They do have a la carte appetizers there. And you're in space, so that's really cool.
Right.
That's awesome.
Very fun.
I've been a couple times. I have not been to the bar there, but I've been to the restaurant a couple times, and it is a cool and unique experience. So I highly recommend anybody who's not been to go give it a shot.
Absolutely. Now, of course, you know what's nice about Epcot is you have some resorts right there attached to it, right there. The International Gateway, and there's some great bars like Jelly Rolls and Abracadabra Bar. There is Hurricane Hannah's, which is a nice tiki bar there. The Crew Cup Lounge, lots of great spots. Plus, you have the Swan and Dolphin. They have some Finn's Bar, and they have karaoke over there at the Swan every night in the Japanese restaurant.
Yeah. I've sung at Komodo's, and I think our friend Sam has it on video somewhere. I'd kill him if he released it, but I think there is some video of me singing at Komodo's once.
Let me write that down.
Yeah.
Yeah, put that in the show opener next time.
You definitely have way more dirt on me than that, Ed, I'm sure, than me singing at Komodo's.
Skip, when you guys have events, who sets them up? Is it you and the people who help moderate the group, or is it just anybody throws an event out there and you all just kind of jump on?
No, we, for our events, we work as a team to figure out what we'd like to do, whether it's a meetup or if it's an event at some of the locations, such as the Edison. The Edison, will reach out to us every once in a while and say, hey, we've got this exciting thing happening, and we'd love for us to participate. Our singles group this Friday is going to, it's a little off property, but it's right there at Kitty O'Shea's, which is kind of an industry bar a little bit off property past Disney Springs. And, so they're meeting up there, and it's just basically their impromptu meetups.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Before we, in between the last time we were on and tonight, Skip, we had a little group chat that we kind of threw some questions that we would thought about after the last time you were on, just things we may ask. And some of our friends, and this is going to be hard to believe for some of your group members, but some of our friends and that hang out with us don't drink. So what are some of your favorite, we'll stick with Epcot because I don't want to go too broad. What are some of your favorite maybe mocktails in Epcot?
I've never had any of them. I'm sorry, I just haven't.
Fair enough.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Well, okay, how about this? How easy is it to virginize a drink at Epcot or at Disney?
I think you can virginize any drink. Pretty much. I mean, and we talked about it in the last podcast, but, you know, the Disney bartenders especially, they are masters at mixology, and they are able to make amazing drinks. And of course, because, you know, Disney's so kid friendly, it's a theme park. You know, there's a vast amount of mocktails out there, and sure. They do an amazing job with them. I know the Edison especially has some really good mocktails. I've never had them, but I know I've heard lots of great things. I have had a mocktail before. It was a virgin screwdriver.
So you had an orange juice.
Yes. So there it is.
And you added champagne to it.
Yeah,
the light. It was light, like a screwdriver light.
A little bit.
Yeah, I left the vodka and just put a little champagne in there.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, Disney is a great place whether you have a drink or not. So
she will remain nameless. But when there's a certain person in our chat threw out this question, I said, you realize we're interviewing the guy who's the leader of the drinking club, right?
Right.
And she goes, well, I know, but it's like very, it's very Gen Z to, you know, to enjoy some of these,
That's true.
Mocktails and non-alcoholic drinks. I'm like, yeah, I don't think Skip's Gen Z.
No.
I actually kind of saw that coming, your response. So thank you for validating me.
The closest mocktail I get is water. That's probably about as close as it gets. But, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And I will say that I know some people, and I do not encourage it at Disney or any other place, but you can also get a mocktail and add your own flavoring.
That's good. I like that. That's good.
How you said when you said that.
Yeah. What do you think is the best / cheapest drink on property? Like for value, like just straight
value.
Just good value.
I think we talked about it last time. I truly believe there are two really great values at Disney. One is the Regal Eagle is their Knob Creek bourbon and Knob Creek Old Fashioned. $16, you can get a double, add $2 more for it. In fact, many of the drinks at Disney, you can make it a double for $2 or $3 more. So that's also another good bargain. The other one, if you're a beer drinker, I love the High Lie. It's usually about $10 for one of the tall boys, and they serve it at a lot of the resorts. And that's, 12% alcohol or 10% alcohol?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting like two beers in one for that. So... Those are some of my favorite deals. Now, Disney Springs has a lot of great happy hours. There's an Indian restaurant there. They do half price drinks during from 2 to 5 o'clock. You know, Raglan Road, the hole in the wall bar outside. They have a happy hour. I know that Paradiso has a happy hour as well. So there's lots of great deals out there. House of Blues has a happy hour. So a lot of great happy hours out there. And I think that's also some of your best bargains is especially, you know, when you're on property and finding a cocktail like that.
Let's go opposite end of the spectrum and say, and maybe something that costs a decent coin, but is worth it. It's like, you know what? This is an expensive drink, but it's worth the money.
You know, I think any old fashioned fits that category. Edison has a really good one. They also have a drink called the High Roller, which is very similar to an old fashioned, and it's a little pricey. But you know, if you drink five of them, you get 5 coins, and you get to turn it in for a free one. So, that's a good cocktail there. You know, I've seen some. You know, there's some $300-$400 drinks at Disney. Morimoto's they have some $1,000 shot of some tequila or something or sake there. So that's probably not going to be doing that anytime soon.
But it's there.
One of your group members threw up Art Smith's Moonshine Refillable Squeeze Bottle.
That's actually true. That's great.
Which also worked at Splitsville.
What kind of squeeze bottle are we talking about?
It's like one of those sport bottles that has the straw in it.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking one of those wine type of squeeze bottles, like your
sport. No, this looks like a sports, like an old school sports bottle with the little bendy straw that comes out of it. And at Splitsville, you can at Art Smith's.
They're interchangeable,
Yeah, so you can bring it to either. I know at
like a Mardi Gras,
it's for the frozen drink. You know, you can use it for the frozen drinks. I don't know about Art Smith. Can you use it? Is it
at Art Smith? They have the moonshines. Yeah, what's that?
They fill it right up. It's like a sports-sized bottle.
Yeah. It's the first one is a little bit more. And, you know, you're buying the sports bottle. But then for, it's like $12 refills or $10 refills after that. And they will make other drinks in there for you. So you're not limited to the.
And it's not foreign from Florida. Think spring break as far as that type of drinks go.
There you go.
Yeah, there's boom. One. Yeah, nice. There it is. And
when I heard squeeze bottle, though.
No, this is like the next marathon you run, Ed. I'll have one on the sideline for you. I'll shoot you some moonshine so you can continue
on. It'll make you run faster.
Yes, it lubricates all your joints.
Very nice.
I knew Morgan. She said I didn't have that handy or anything. Yeah. He sent that picture, and we didn't even get squeeze bottle out of our mouths, and Morgan sent the picture of it. So she had it very close to her. Morgan is a huge fan of it. I think it's cool. I think that's a good value.
I'll tell you a really good, kind of a good value, but it's not that snazzy or anything like that. But there's a, when you're leaving the Magic Kingdom Park, there's that convenience store gas station right there, and they've got little picnic tables, and you can get yourself a High Life or something like that from inside the convenience store. For they usually have it like $2 for $4 or something like that. You can just sit there on the picnic table and have a beer, which is that's what I used to do in college, by the way.
So I think another one that just came to me when you said that was once me and Kim were staying at Boardwalk, and at the time this was like just past COVID. It hadn't really. Wasn't fully open yet, but I think Abracadabra was, but it was jam-packed. So we went in the little store in the Boardwalk and bought, I bought a six-pack of beer, and she brought a bottle of wine. And we just went and sat on a table out by the Boardwalk. And then, it wasn't great prices. It's not what you would normally pay, but still much cheaper than you would pay each glass of wine at the bar. So that's another.
If you're definitely on a budget, the Once Upon a Vine is a really good wine that they have in all the gift shops. And if you're sitting there at the resort, you can uncork it there and sit at one of the tables or sitting along the boardwalk, maybe one of those blankets there where they watch the movies, and you can just chill out there. Those are some good spots.
Yeah, Splitsville is amazing in that it is, and Kim was just saying that it's that. It's more than bowling. It's such a great place for food and such a great place for drinks. It's like bowling is almost fourthly on that list of things to do there.
Yeah, they've got great drinks. They also have, like you said, the great food. Mm-hmm. The sushi there is amazing. We always love the sushi. I've never had a bad meal there at Splitsville. And we've done our last two events there at the second floor bar. We've reserved that whole area, and we fill it up and... nothing but great things to say about Splitsville.
I agree. We've had, I think, three events upstairs in that back bar, kind of where you can see Haleo and all that, probably the same area, I'm guessing. And then last one, they put us downstairs because somebody rented the whole second floor. I thought it was probably you, Skip. I thought that was probably you. Yeah. So they put us downstairs, which it was a little tight, to be honest.
It was just me that time. I just wanted some space, and I used each of the bowling lanes as I bowled with each lane.
What's interesting is it's I'm kind of known for going to Splitsville. I go there three or four times every trip. That's kind of where we end our night to get food and get some drinks. And I've never bowled there. I've probably been there 100. I've been there probably 100 times. I've eaten there. I've drank a lot there. I've never bowled. Not one time have I ever bowled. Ed, we need to go bowling.
Yeah, that'd be something different. We did a while back with the kids because we had to justify actually going there. And that was fun, but you know, not something we often do at all.
Yeah, you're right. And also, it's nice they have live music downstairs in the outdoor area. Mm-hmm. And that's always
often get really good music. A lot of places in Disney Springs.
Right, it's a place to watch the games too. That's another big thing. Yeah. It's a great place to watch games.
That was kind of one of the reasons we started going there, is because, you know, you go upstairs to the, you hop on the escalator and you go up to that upstairs bar. And a lot of times you can just go grab a seat at the bar. They'll switch the TV to whatever game you want to watch. But we've also hung out downstairs at the outside bar a lot. Everybody doesn't know me. It's what's a lot of the bartenders. They change it. There's a lot of bartenders there and they do rotate. And with a lot of them, there is one girl named Maria that knows Kim for sure. And she makes Kim a special drink that's not on the menu every time we go there.
Nice.
So, yeah. So they do know, they kind of know us there. We know a few of the bartenders there, which is pretty funny. But, you know, I mean, I think that also comes with holding meetups and stuff there. They kind of remember you from those things. So I guess we're going to have to drag Skip to the meetup next year.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to do that. Usually I'm in town and, I keep, you guys are also good looking and handsome. Like I said, I expect nerds and I always walk past you not knowing.
I know. It's very deceiving.
You're looking for the geeks. That's the difference. That's
the Disney geeks. Broadcast.
We're the nerds. We don't look anything like geeks. No, we're just nerds.
Gotcha. But no, it's you know, Disney Springs, you know, of course, you know, we remember the Pleasure Island days and just, you know, the Adventurers Club and, the mannequins and the neon armadillo, beach club, all great spots there. Terry, you're too young to remember this.
Skip, is this?
I'm not young.
Does that ring any bells?
Oh yeah, that's right there in the Adventures Club.
Yeah, Zeus fishing was it or something like that?
Yeah,
I don't have the fishing rod.
Gongaloosh. But yeah, those, you know, it was very special. That's one. Nerds with better fashion sense. There you go.
Look, I'm not going to knock pocket protectors because I think I've seen Ed wear one before.
Never. They need to bring back an Adventurers Club. Let's get back to that. Yeah. Forget the pocket protectors.
You know, you should do a promotional pocket protector.
That is true. That's not a bad idea. That's
a good idea, actually.
There you go.
Nobody's wearing pockets.
We need to hire Skip on our marketing team.
The problem is, where do you find promotional pocket protectors?
Oh, you can find it. There's got to be a way you can
find
it.
Where do you find pocket protectors, period?
Yeah.
Oh, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a place.
But, the Adventurers Club was great. I love the mask room. You know, I, if anybody owns a mask from the mask room, you know, I wish they would put that up on eBay or something, because I would love to have, you know, some memorabilia from the Adventurers
Club. That was pretty fabulous in there.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever, I don't think I've ever been to the Adventurers Club. Believe it or not.
I had never been in the room with the guy whose head came off, the Maharaji or the one psychic in the maid room in the middle. Definitely been in the library many, many times for the big shows and stuff like that. And the main lobby is pretty fun too. There's always something going on in the main lobby. And the mask room was really good too.
Yeah, you basically, Jimmy, you'd go into this place and it had all different kinds of rooms, and you'd have some drinks. They would teach you the chant or the mottos, and then you would go into this theater. And I always resisted going into the theater because that means you had to leave. So they did a 15-20 minute show inside the theater. So very Disney-esque.
I'm trying to think of the Colonel's chant. Adventurers. I'm going to have to go back and grab that.
You know, one of our members recorded her singing it. Maybe I can find it for you guys. So.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome. It was such a fun thing to do. And you were doing it with all of your brand new friends, everybody that you're in the room with it that night. all the different things we were doing. And a lot of the cast members, once it closed, were still appearing around the parks. I remember that definitely a cast member was working over in Animal Kingdom for the bird show. He was that fan that came on. It was like kind of wacky type of guy that was a super fan that was messing everything up. And,
can you hear that?
Yes.
Singing a song of adventurers.
Yeah, I remember this.
Up or down, north, south, east, or west, the adventurer's life is best. The adventurer.
Nice.
Life is best.
And the salute was a fish wiggle at your stomach, something here, and then it was the shot. So there was an actually official salute too that they would teach you.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just everything was really, really well done, and you would go back and you would see it again, and some of the stuff would carry on, and some of the stuff would change.
I think the death of that was the fact that they didn't charge admission.
Well, they did. They did. It was in order to get on the island. I think it was a $20 cover charge.
Oh, to get in, yeah. But I think at one point, like the Hopper Plus ticket included, like
sure, it did.
Yeah. But I'm talking about at the door to the club,
and that changed as it went along too, as far as what was included, what you paid extra. They just kind of kept increasing or decreasing or changing it. But as far as cover charge for each store, no, I don't think that ever would have worked out. I mean, it's more like along the lines, that was the fun part, is you paid that one price to get on Pleasure Island, and then every door was open. And you just went everywhere you went and had no problems.
And I think, don't get me wrong, I think that's cool. But being at a place like that, that's one of my gripes about Yeehaw Bob, as much as I'd love to go see him, is that, you know, when you go to see him, it's such a pain in the butt because you get all the older people who just sit there and drink water and watch him. And I know that's got to suck for the, at some point, you know, he draws people to a bar, but is he drawing the crowd that's going to be spending money at the bar? So it's interesting.
And it's a small bar. I mean, that's the other side of that. Really. It's really a small bar.
Yeah. So I'm like, so the key to that is you just got to go do the late set. And they all, a lot of those people leave, you know.
I think you're missing the real key, Jimmy. Those people need to start drinking.
That's my point.
We're going to go over there and give them evil eyes. Like,
two-drink minimums for shows from now on.
Maybe so. Hey, I think that's how
Bob is not going to play until you order a beer, sir.
I think that's how Jelly Rolls gets around it.
Yeah, well.
Well, the cover charge.
Yeah, dueling pianos, but you're going to pay, if you're just going to come in and not drink. Now, look, I think they should take the strip club mentality. It's $20 to get in, but the $20 gets you two drinks.
I think that works for me. I mean, I like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So at least one thing. So if I'm not a drinker, I'm going to pay the $20 and not drink. But at least I paid my $20. If I am a drinker, my $20 is going to go to the bar, and I'm going to drink.
See, that would work. Unfortunately, I mean, it's already working without that.
Oh, yeah.
It's packed. It's always packed. So,
worth every penny, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a password to get you 20% off or 10% off. If you say, is Benny playing tonight to the doorman, you'll get 10% off. They'll knock off a couple of bucks off the cover charge. So.
No kidding. That's good to know.
At Jelly Rolls?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Jelly Rolls.
It's on my list again.
We're like, going again.
Like now.
So, you know, that kind of leads me into, we had talked about the surprise, something that just happened. And I just want to let you guys know that if you go to Paddlefish, you go to the bar at Paddlefish and you say, is Captain Benny sent me, you will get a discount on your drinks, food, and they also have a secret menu for you. That's at the bar only at Paddlefish.
Okay. Good stuff. I like it.
Is that worth the excitement that I was building up a little bit?
No. What else you got?
If I told you that we are going to have our very own beer.
What?
Yes.
There it is. That's the one.
Get the F out of here.
Yep. I can't say much about it, but in April, our Club D3 beer will be out, and it'll be at some of your favorite local locations. Some of them we mentioned tonight on this podcast.
Excellent. Very, very cool.
Interesting.
It's 5% APV, and it's going to be a Florida lager.
Are you a beer? You're not a beer drinker, though.
I do drink beer. Yeah, I do.
So oh, you do.
Yes. And the nice thing is there's a portion of the profits or a portion of the sales goes to charity. So
excellent.
And we're going to be rotating that charity every.
Isn't that ridiculously fantastic that you get to put this group together? You get all these people that show up and participate, and you just get to enjoy it and have a great time. And then while doing all that, get to support like a great charity.
Absolutely. That's what makes it worth it right there. I mean, number one, the friendships that you make, you know, like I said, you know, we all have the same passion and we all enjoy hanging out together and experiencing, you know, our favorite spot on earth, and, you know, doing great things for charities is a big part of it. We have our golf tournament coming up in June 14th, and that's going to go to the Susan G. Coleman Foundation and awesome. Jimmy the bartender over at Animal Kingdom over at Restaurantosaurus. He's going to be our grand marshal, and he was our grand marshal last year, and we're doing it at Celebration Golf Club this year. And you can go to clubd3.com and get your foursome together. And we're going to have lots of liquor reps along the course with samples and drinks, and there'll be a free lunch and everything.
Let's not start that rumor, Ian.
Ian, this is not true. Yeah.
Fake news. Let's not start that rumor, okay? No, that's it. That's amazing. And where is it again?
Celebration Golf Course, and you can go to www.clubd3.com and sign up your foursome. And you know, it's gonna be fun. You know, last year we had a great time. We have lots of great door prizes, and this year we're really excited because we're going to have lots of sponsors, such as the beer, and also I don't want to see some of the new partnerships that we've got, but you know, there's a tequila company involved, so we'll just leave it at that.
Always good when that happens.
Yeah.
What is it, Scotty's Vodka?
Yeah, Scotty, he's a friend of mine. He lives up in Virginia. Or he lives in Maryland. I'm right there below you. He's a good friend. I wish they had Scotty's Vodka in Florida, but they're all over the D.C. area, and I bring some down for friends. But Scotty's Vodka is one of our friendly sponsors.
Nice. Sounds good. I'm gonna look at the golf. I can't be there in June, but maybe we can sponsor a hole or something.
Maybe we could do a contest out there. Maybe you know, we'll have a dunk tank or something, dunk a nerd or something.
Oh, I would love to. I may fly Ed there.
The at least it'd be up for it big time. Don't worry.
No, you'll be there in June, won't you?
Did you just volunteer Lisa, sorry. Ed?
I did
just volunteer Lisa. I can't wait to Lisa see there.
That'd be great.
Well, it's perfect. You know, the golf, the dunk tank.
I'll fly Ed down for this.
I mean, if you're going to do the dunk tank properly, you have to sit there and insult the person with the ball.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
You know, because that's all part of the fun.
Look, you sober son of a gun.
Yeah.
You hope. It sounds like a fun event.
That Definitely. Sounds amazing. I wish I really wish I could be there. Our friend Leipzig does live locally and is a golfer. The past few trips I've made down, we go play golf with Lisa. So maybe she could get a team together and go with some of our local friends and go play the tournament. So
yeah, that'll be great. You know, we have you know, longest drive, closest to the pin. We also have shortest drive. So you know,
I could win that easy.
Yeah. So it's all levels, all skill levels. I mean, people just play to have fun. There are also some serious golfers that really put together some ringer teams to compete.
I'm sure it's like a four-man scramble.
Yeah.
Or four-person scramble. That's awesome, man. That's you know what? That's good that you're doing great things, and all the people that, you know, that are in the group are really, you know what? I'm going to agree with Ian, and you are a pretty good guy.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you.
Until proven otherwise. Yeah.
Terry, what do you think? Terry, Ed, what do you think? Okay, Ed, your vote.
Terry's from Canada. Terry's from Canada. She's too polite to tell you otherwise.
Right. Definitely there. And until proven otherwise, for sure.
So I like Ed's caveat there. He's still not committed.
Yeah, he left himself a way out.
Right.
Let's just say we know Skip at the beginning of the night. Let's see what Skip is at the end of the night after.
That's true. That's a good point. Valid point. Skip, are you a golfer?
I do play golf. Yeah.
So, okay.
I'm not the greatest golfer, but I'm a decent golfer.
I am not a good golfer, but I enjoy golf.
Good.
I'm trying to get Ed out there with me.
Oh no.
He keeps turning.
I haven't enjoyed golf for like 20 years, so it's going to be too late to start.
Oh no, I really enjoy the thought of golf. Once I'm doing it, I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I've got a fraternity brother that just started playing golf last year, and he's actually a really good golfer now. So it's never too late, you know. If you have a drive shack or a top golf in your town, those are great places to start and just to have fun. It's almost like a bowling league.
The par threes. Those are my kind of courses.
Sure. My son is 22 and he's been playing golf for about 2 years, and that's what, you know. And then my buddy Ian, who's in the chat, you know, playing golf with them guys, that's what it's all about to me.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. Look, I hit my good shots, I hit my bad shots, but getting out on the golf course with some buddies and having a good time is always
right. And I get that, but if I'm going to Walt Disney World, I could see maybe going mini golf. Mm-hmm. But I'm not spending the afternoon on the golf course. I got to the world finally, so let's.
Oh no, you got to go in the morning.
If you're willing to walk around the parks, you're willing to walk around 18 holes, Ed.
Yeah.
In the heat and humidity.
Yeah, I'm not getting the same satisfaction. I don't think.
Oh, you definitely are. There's a special bond, you know, that you create when you're out right. golfing with
sure,
people.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. Okay.
So.
We'll
just
see.
Come on and do it.
Yep. Just stop just complaining. Do it. Come on, Ed. Everybody's
do
doing it.
Just Jeez, do it.
Everybody's doing it.
All the Gen Zers are doing it.
We're going to send you to the golf tournament. And you can sit in the dunk tank.
What kind of club is this? What kind of club is this after all?
Yeah. It's a golf club now. Club,
do it.
Club G3. Do it. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Good pressure.
But yeah, we'd love to have you guys out. At least come to the after party because we'll be putting together, I'm sure, a hell of an after party.
That's right. Best part.
Sounds good. Skip, thank you again for joining us. We truly appreciate it. We love talking to you, except for Terry. She's been making faces at you all night.
I've noticed.
I'm taking great notes. I'm excited. My kids are both drinking age now, so we can.
It's a different world going to the park.
Next time we go out,
it is.
Do it all. And
I mean, it really is. I mean, it's great. You know, I see a lot of parents that. You know, they bring their kids and they want to have a beer, and they didn't get to do that when they were obviously kids, you know, but now it's kind of a fun social part. And then there's also the empty nesters that a lot of our members are empty nesters and their kids have grown up. And
that's kind of where me and my wife and Ed is. And, you know, our kids have kind of moved on, not necessarily completely moved on, but for the most part, we don't have to, you know, We can leave and not have to worry about them. They're independent, and so it's great. I love me and my wife love just going, and it's also great like meeting up. That's one of the things. And you said this about the Disney Day Drinkers, but the same goes for the Disney Nerds. We've gotten to be friends with so many people, a lot of them locals,
right?
That we schedule, hey, we're coming in town. And I think one of the important things for that is you have to understand that you're going on vacation. They're living their like day to day, so that I don't put no expectations on them. Like, hey, this is we're going to be there. This is where we're going to be. We'd love to see you. If not, I understand. But most of the time, you know, our friends don't leave us hanging. At least we get to see them at some point during our trip that we hang out. And
well, a lot of the locals that I know, they just are looking for an excuse to be on staycation.
Sure.
So, you know, they're looking at the opportunity. But, yeah, they're not going to necessarily go to the parks or go to the parks to ride rides or stand in line. They're not going to get the Genie Plus.
But there's a good shot on Saturday night. They're going to come meet you, or Friday evening. They'll come meet you at Epcot and hang out for a few hours and have a couple drinks and watch fireworks.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining. We'll see you next Tuesday night when we'll, I guess, and then we'll have a video eventually of Ed in the dunk tank.
And you dancing in the bar.
And me dancing. Well, no, me singing at Kimonos.
What song was it too, Jimmy, by the way?
I don't remember. My wife may know. Kim, do you remember what song? Kim actually got really mad. Not at me singing, but because it was getting later in the night. We were there. Me, my daughter, who was probably 16 or 17 at the time, Kim, and our friend Sam. And I guess I had requested a song that these other two ladies had requested. So they called us up, and they had to sing together. And the other ladies, not inappropriately handsy, but like were hugging and touching me. And my wife was not happy at all
about that. Did you get their number? I'd like to go sing with them.
Yeah, I know.
That was 20 years ago.
That was a long time. That was my daughter's 24 now, so that was six or 7 years ago. But interesting. I have lots of video of Charlotte dancing, by the way. Lots of video. Lots of separate clips over the years. All right. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next Tuesday. We'll get Ed in the dunk tank. Terry's just going to be nice to everybody.
Yep.
Thanks for coming, Skip.
Kind of
thanks,
media
guys.
Personality. All right.
See you later.
Have a good night. Thank you, guys. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Have a good night.
Bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting